Okay, the boys, today's daf is daf Lamed Gimel. We're starting a brand new parak on the bottom of Lamed Beis Amud Beis. Zok the Mishnah. Ein bein hamudr hano mechaveroi lamudr heimenu ma'achol el adrisas haregel v'kelem shein oisim behem oichol nefesh. So the Mishnah tells us that there are two different types of a neder. One can be madr someone else and prohibit him from anything. Any type of hano, I don't want you to have any hano from me any longer. Or a much more circumscribed neder, that I don't want you to have any hanoah from me regarding ma'achal, regarding food. Now obviously there's a major difference between the limitations of the second neder and the very broad first neder. Our Mishnah only focuses on drisus haregel, mekelim shein oisim hem oichol nefesh. The reason why we focus on drisus haregel is because we want to tell us that, of course, any type of major hano would be prohibited. Would I be able to go and give him, for instance, a present? Of course not. Again, we're making the distinction between the broad noider himenu, any type of hano, or just the limited, you're not going to have any hano from food from me. Okay, so if I'm going to go and give him a free kugel on Erev Shabbos, then obviously that would be violative if he accepted it and had hano from it, then it would be violative of both of these forms of nedar. We're going to talk about that in a moment. However, if I give him, for instance, a present, not of kegel, I go and give him a present, I give him a brand new chair, so somebody can sit on that chair. I give him a brand new ballpoint pen, fountain pen, whatever. That is not a ma'achol, that's just general anno. So that would be an obvious distinction. So why is a mishnah limited to drisus haregel, kenshin, oisim, moichel nefesh? So we'll see mentioned in the Gemara shortly that drisus haregel is a big chidush. Now, our good friend Ariel asks, what is drisus haregel? Drisus haregel means walking on somebody else's property. And, of course, normally you're not allowed to walk on somebody else's property. It's trespassing. However, the custom in many communities is that we allow people to go and trespass if it's for a good purpose. Take, for instance, in Muncie. Many people do not live right next to a shul. For them to get to the shul, they have to walk around the block, and sometimes the block is a fairly lengthy block. So it's pretty customary. Almost everybody allows people to go through their property to go to shul, or for other purposes. And they don't give any, they don't ask you to pay for that. One should ask permission, of course, but 99.9% of the time, the people are very, very, very nice. Sure, anytime you want, you can go through the property. No problem whatsoever. Okay, so now the question is, what happens if Reuven is madir hano'ah from Shimon, saying, Shimon, I don't want you to have any more hano'ah from me. I'm so angry at you. I'm so upset. No more hano'ah from me. Is Shimon now allowed to go and walk through Reuven's property? Everybody else walks through. In fact, until that point in time, Shimon walked through every single day. So now, in fact, as we'll see in the Gemara in Yetz Hashem, that is a machloikis. The Gemara calls it vitor. Vitor things that people typically waive their rights, and they say, sure, no problem. Do you consider that to be also something that goes within the umbrella of you're not allowed to have a no from me? That's a no. Everybody, every Tom, Dick, and Harry goes through, and I always went through. That's a, you don't charge for that. Maybe it's not worth a shove of pruta type of a no. So therefore, our Mishnah goes and tells us that would be a nafka minim. In other words, if a person is madr someone else from having a no from him, the other person is not allowed to walk through his property. However, if he's only madr malchol, only food items, then drisus haregel has nothing to do with food, so then you would be able to walk through the property. We're going to talk about this more in the Gemara. And the Mishnah continues, the kelim shein oisim ben oichel nefesh, if you're dealing with any type of kli that is not used for cooking or for preparing food or bringing food, as we'll see momentarily in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah gives us now examples. Hamudr mimena machal, hamudr machal mechaber. Lo yashi lenu, napa v'kavra v'richayim v'tanem. So what our Mishnah tells us is, even though the person said, I'm madir machal, food, he's not allowed to lend him a napa v'kavra. Those are different types of sieves, things that you use to go and sift, or to filter. And v'richayim is a grinding mill, the tanner is an oven. Those things you're not allowed to be mashal. And the Gemara is going to ask, I don't understand why. Because after all, Mudim amena machel. Machel means food. If he made anor a neder not to go and be mahana, the other person with food. Food means giving him a cake, giving him pieces of meat, giving him food. It's not giving him, allowing him to use your taner or nap of the kavra. So Mitchum will see in the Gemara momentarily. Avol, the following kelim are ein oisim behem oichol nefesh. So therefore, says our Mishnah, mashu lecholuk v'tabas v'talis unazamim. Choluk is a cloak, some form of clothing. Tabas is a ring. Talis is a, either the talis like you daven, or talis also means a large cape or a large a shawl. Oh, very good. Unazamim are typically nose rings or other types of jewelry. So these have nothing to do with oichol nefesh, with food. So therefore, if you make a neder not to allow your chavit to have any hano'ah, then you cannot lend him a choluk tabas talis benuzam. However, if you only made this restrained mudr mena machel, then of course choluk tabas has nothing to do with machel. In fact, it's so it's such a double posh, the Gemara is going to ask, you know, it's pshita, as we'll see in a moment. So Gemara, mantana, who's the tana of our Mishnah? Omer vadabara hava. Reb Leizihi, the son of Reb Leizer, uimer filu vitur oser bemudr hano. Vitur means things that people typically waive their rights, and they are mevater. Specifically, the machloikis of Reb Leizer and Rabbanan are with regard to, for instance, you go into a grocery store, or you go to one of these corner fruit people. So you want to go, for instance, buy, just to throw out an example, a pound of cherries. How much is a pound of cherries? $3 a pound, $4, $5 a pound. Fine. So they have their scales. He weighs a pound of cherries, and it comes out to a pound, and then often he'll throw in one or two or three cherries, especially if you happen to be a customer of his. He doesn't charge more for that, he just charges whatever the price is, and he's mevater, he's moisiv, he adds one or two additional cherries, even though it's more than the pound. It doesn't matter. That's what we call vitor. So now the question is, if a person is mudrano legabe macho, or if he's mudrano generally, would you be able to go and add in those extra one or two? After all, he's paying him the full freight in terms of what the normal weight is concerned. So in that respect, he's not getting hana. It might be totally in the machlekes we had the other day, whether the moicher has the hana, the lekeach has the hana. So the Ran throws in, he's talking about a case of zvina de rami al ape, where the real hana is to the moicher, because he's getting rid of second-class, stable types of foods, or stable types of merchandise, where nobody's interested, it's stale, whatever. So the point over here is, from the actual sale, there is no hana. The question is, can you go and throw in that extra cherry or two, after all? You always throw in that extra cherry. So there's a machloikis between Reb Leizer and the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan said, that's not considered giving hana. That's considered to be a normal, a normal mekach u'memker, that the mocher throws in one more. If you don't want to talk about food, you can talk about, he sells them paper clips. 100 paper clips for $1. I'll give you two more, just as a present. You go and you charge for that? No, that's a freebie. So therefore, the Rabbanan say that type of thing is mutter b'mutter hano, because it's not real hano, that's a free. Anybody that comes into the store automatically takes a sample, that's fine, no problem. Says Reb Leizer, no, that's by a regular person. Then regular person, you're mavater. But if you're making a mutter hano, you're not allowed to have hano from me, that even means to the nth degree, even a vitter is also. So that's why, even though the entire town goes through his property, cuts through a shortcut to be able to get to shul on Shabbos, he's not allowed to because he's mudr hano, and that's the chiddush of the Drisa Sarek. Continuing, the Mishnah says, Hamudar machel mechaver le'eshilani, he's not allowed to go and lend him napa v'kaver rechaim betaner, freitimor v'men machel, no dar. I just heard him say that I'm madir hano of machel mechaver. In fact, not even the word hano, mudr hemenu machel. Reuven says to Shimon, no more. You didn't eat at my kiddush this morning. I don't want you to eat at any more of my kiddushes. Okay, that might be a neder zruzin. Oh, so let's not talk about that case. But just in general, he says, what? You criticized my wife's cake, which I gave on the for tikkun. Oh, you shouldn't have any more machel from me. From now on, no more food. Okay, so freiti mora, but food is food. Napa v'kavra, l'chaim v'taner is not food. You can't go and eat a napa v'kavra. But min machel nada. In fact, the Mishnah is not talking about just mudar menu machol. It's mudar mimenu hanoas machol. Oh, that's already a different story. That's already broader terms. Frank Timura, hanoas machol doesn't sound like it includes these kalim. What it sounds like is ba'omer aima shalo yilois chitin v'yitin al makasai. In the good old days, they didn't have mercurochrome and iodine. In fact, I don't even know if they have it today because I haven't seen it around recently. But anyway, years ago, when a person had a cut, they put in some iodine, which stung, and mercurochrome, which wasn't so bad, and it was supposed to be very good and effective. But what happens in the good old days, they didn't have those two items. So what they used to do was they would go and chew chitim, that's kernels of wheat. They chewed it like we chew today, or some people chew today, bubble gum. And then after that, instead of just throwing it out in the trash bin, what they would do is they would put it on a makkah. If a person had a chas v'shalom makkah of some sort, they would put that down, and that apparently did an effective job of removing the germs, and the person got healthy, and blah, blah, blah. Ah, so says the Gemara, that l'choyr is what we mean by hanu'as machl, because regular machl is for eating. I don't go and take kugel to have anor, I take a kugel and I eat it. Of course, I have anor as a result. If it's a good piece of kugel, I have a lot of anor. But that wouldn't be the, you wouldn't need to add the word hanor for that. All you have to go and say is a madri menu machl, which means don't eat it. By adding the word hanor as machl means having anor from a food item other than the typical hanor of eating. Okay, what would that be? To go and use it for your makkah. How would that include the nap of a kava? Says Yimor, you know you're right. Omero, I changed my mind. And the Ran and the Rosh are not going to say ma'acholcho, but just ma'achol. Which means that the Lashon of the Mishnah should either be changed, literally, or you should learn pshat in the Mishnah. When it says, l'mudr emenu ma'achol, it means l'mudr emenu hanoha ha'mevi'a lidei ma'achol. Okay, so that makes a lot of sense. What's the hanor that maybe they machel? Having machines like napa v'kaver rechaim v'taner. If I happen to have raw wheat without having a rechaim, I'm not going to be able to use it except for chewing. But if I really want to be able to produce and make from it chalas or bread or cake or what have you, then I have to have a rechaim. And then after the rechaim, I have to be able to sift through the flour to take out the impurities. I need a napa v'kavra. And then, of course, I have to bake and I have to have a taner. So these are all items which are hanoah ha'mevi'a lidei machol, and that's what he said in his neder, and therefore the Ran. What is it? Okay. Yeah. If you want, there's a beautiful seat over here. We don't bite.
I have a straight view.
Okay. I have a straight view too. You too. Wonderful. Anyway, so the Ran says, in fact, therefore these three nedarim are now mutually exclusive, which means if the person is matir b'mena machol, machol means only the food item. That's it. No more, no less. According to Reb Shimon Lakish, if you add now, hanoyde bimenu, hanoas machol means to add shloyilois chita v'yitra makase, that you use a food item for other than for eating, but you use it for some sort of other hano, such as to go and help out if you have a wound. And then if you bring, if you make a neder, hanoa mevilide machol, then that does not include the yilois chitin, the yitron makosai. What that includes is strictly the things that we mention in our Mishnah, the napa, the kavur, the chayv, the tanur, because that's hanoah, which brings the deimach. Amar Papa, so the Papa says, I want to add something. Sak lohavi peiros, v'chamor lohavi olav peiros, v'afilat tanabi alma, is also hanoah ha-mevi'a li-deimach. Meaning, what happens if I want to eat peiros, but the peiros are in the store? To be able to get the peiros from the store, to me, somebody has to transport them. And not only somebody, but you also need some sort of kli, unless you're only taking one banana or one apple. If you want to go and take multiple, you know, after a while, you run out of hands and run out of feet. What can you do? So you have to have a sack, especially today where they don't give out free plastic bags. In Muncie, they do, in case you want to move to Muncie. But here, I don't want anybody to do it, but you stay on the west side. Anyway, it's a very good reason, right? Anyway, sack lovely page. That sack would also be an example of a vitor, where in places like Muncie and places like everywhere until recently, you used to get a free bag. They didn't charge you for the bag. So therefore, that would also be a vita. Would you be able to go and give that to the person who you annoyed him, Imanu Hanot? That would also be the same machloik between Reb Lez and the Chacham. It's a vita. Anyway, so I'm going to pop a sack, lovely peiros, the sack to be able to bring the peiros, the chamor, the hovila peiros. What happens if you have so many peiros, you can't carry it yourself, you need something to transport it to. You have a chamor. So, the donkey, that too would be hano'o hamevili de mach. And even if talking about a basket in which you're going to go and put the payers, all to the same Allah would apply on norma vili de machalu. And the Ram says, what is Rapapa adding? I see that this is hanorma vili de machalu. Says the Ram, because Olkadaita Chamina, perhaps the reason why the Tan and our Mishnah itemized and enumerated Napa Vekavar Chaim Vetana, because all four of those help in the production and the manufacture of the machal. By using the sieves, by using the mill, by using... Here we're only talking about transporting it. I'm not doing anything internal to the machal, just bringing it to me.
What?
So I might have thought that Hanom Avedel Vidachal doesn't go that far. Kamash and Rabbah, but no, anything that brings the food closer to me, both in the manufacture and production of the food, as well as the transfer of the food, all of that is considered to be Hanom Avedel Vidachal. Yes, sir.
So I think in older times they also used the donkeys to turn the mill or something, meaning that in addition to just transporting, animals were used to work the mill or whatever.
Yes.
So
do you want to know what that
means? So that's what I'm saying. I would have bifurcated, meaning using the animal to transport is one thing, but the animal using the mill is actually doing something in the production of the food.
Which what you're saying is beautiful. I would love to learn your pshat, but notice the Lashon HaGemara is Omer HaPapa, Sach L'Havi Peres, Chamor L'Havi Olav Peres. It doesn't talk about the Chamor for purposes of the production, it talks about purposes of the transport and the transfer.
Does say Rechaim, so let's say the Rechaim is the mill, right?
Absolutely.
So let's say the mill, so I'm saying in olden times there were mills that they actually used the animal to power the mill. That's
you're doing a beautiful job. So the presumption is that the reason why Rav Papa didn't say that is because he figured that that would be within the Dalat Amis of the Rechaim. Since you cannot use a mill, except for a handmill, which you can't do very much with, you have to have the chamor. So presumably that's all part of the kalim that are for oichel nefesh, and it's hanom avelu de machel. But still, how do I know about the transportation? Says Rav Papa, that's also included. Yes.
Rabbi said, "Be'omer hana hamevia lide machalacha alai."
Yeah, okay. Is that good or bad?
What Ernst and Papa is adding with this transportation, it's the bringing hamevia. What is Rav Papa seems to be stating something which is evident from the language of the Nader itself.
Good. So let me ask you. I hear you. So how is Napa Vekavra Hamidia?
Those are essential items for the production.
Okay, but that's not in the word Hamidia.
No, it's implicit in the word Hana, because the Hana isn't available without the edibility of the food.
Mm-hmm.
But the Mevia is, it seems like already reflects the transportation.
No, I hear you. But if you're going to read into Mevia as much as you are vis-a-vis transportation, that would seem to negate Napa Vekavra, which are not maybe, they don't transfer, they don't bring. So the way Chazal have learned Pshat until Rav Papa is that Hamidia means that as a result of these items, I took something which until now which was inedible, and now I'm bringing it to the table that now that it's edible. So not in the transportation sense, but in the sense of transforming what was inedible to edibility. So that's the Namevia. Not the physical bringing as much as the productive bringing of these items.
The transformative bringing, but in the Webster's Dictionary definition that you often cite of words that we find, Mevia has both meanings. So
that's our purpose. Our purpose, so you agree with our purpose.
I agree. I feel it's
unnecessary.
Entirely.
Exactly. Okay, so if you look at the third wide line of the Ram down below, Sak Lahovi Lapeyas, Hanom Mevia de Machalu. So long time, don't think only to go and transform complete the machel and to complete it and to refine it and to prepare it. But not for the kavra. just bringing the machal, that's not, let's just try. You can take any tamasa koif ba'alma. Buvad, besak, v'chamor, I would think, shari, kamash, v'ra papa, es anishtas. So now the question is, says, boy, ra papa, what about the reverse? What means the reverse? Instead of bringing the machal to me, what about bringing me to the machal? Is that also a problem? For instance, if a person wants to eat out in a restaurant, the Russian toises use the expression Beis Hamishta, sorry?
You drive the Uber, you cannot drive him in the Uber.
Exactly, you want to go and if you happen to have a taxi or if you have a car service or an Uber or a Lyft or whatever, and you want to give the guy a ride for free, would you be able to give him a ride if you're Mudr Heimenu? Or Mudr Heimenu, the Hanoma Vila de Machel? He goes, although I'm not bringing the machel to you, I'm bringing you to the machel. It's boy or papa. Sus lir koiv olov, the tabas li roiz ba mahu. Mifsik umezel bi are mai. So these are three separate shilas. The first one is the sus lir koiv olov. Barship shot means to take you to the restaurant, to take you to the grocery, wherever, to get you to the food, to be able to eat from the food. That's the way the Rosh learns pshat. If you look at the Rosh is about third down the Omid, Sus Lirkoiv Olov, Lebeis HaMishta. If you're going to go and lend him your Sus, your horse, to go and take him to the Beis HaMishta, to the party, to the restaurant, to the chasana, wherever there's going to be food. What's the halacha? Is that also prohibited? In other words, you should have to charge for him, because otherwise, if you're a Mudr Hano, Hano Mavil De Machel. So it's not you're bringing the Machel to him, you're bringing him to the Machel. What's the Tabois Lirois Ba? Tabois Lirois Ba, if you look at the next Rosh, Kideshi Chabdu Lohisif Loimonois. If you're wearing a fancy schmancy ring, Gzuntai, then you look like a person who's distinguished, person of dignity, person of a lot of Yerushamayim. And therefore, yes.
Is that a ring for the hand or a nose ring?
That's the Nizam. If you go back to our Mishnah, we cover both.
So you're going to look distinguished in a nose ring?
That's why the Gemara doesn't use the expression. But if you look back in the Mishnah, you had Tabas and the Zom. Okay.
It's the woman who
was. Yeah. See, now you're getting back into the same Zom. Now you're going to start talking about Brismila. Yeah, okay. Okay, anyway, so bottom line is, the Gemara is telling us is that Tabas, Leroy, is Ba, says the Rosh, what would be, you're not bringing him closer to the food, or the food bringing closer to him by wearing a nose ring, or wearing a regular ring. So says the Rosh, you will look more distinguished, so that if and when you go into the Beis HaMishta, into the party, the waiter sees you, oh, there's a chosh of a guy, he's sitting on the dais, he's sitting on the first one, he's going to bring him the food that much closer, or he's going to go and give him two portions instead of one. So that's also maybe Lidei Machel. The Ran learns about the Sus Lirk of Olav, that that's also the same as Tabas Lirois Po, meaning that if the waiter or the person making the party sees through the window that the person that arrived, he didn't arrive in a bicycle, but he came with a, what's a fancy car?
A chariot.
A Maserati. Oh, Maserati, we're going to give him preference. He doesn't have to wait till the back of the line. Hey, come! He already had reservations from 3 weeks ago. You bring him to the front of the line. Sorry?
Because he's going to get a tip, so the waiter gets it.
No, so I see you have a feel for this. Anyway, so if you look at the Ran, now five lines into the Ran. Sus lirka v'lova, tabas liroi yispo, missing mazel. The mi amrina, nehi de hakrovis hamachal, elov mikri hanor mevedel de machal. That certainly you're bringing the Hanoah closer to him, you bring the food closer to him. That's the question. That's the third case, which we haven't really discussed yet. So he should get there quickly. Do you say that that's Hanoah Mevili Machel? Because you're not bringing the Machel closer, you're going to the Machel. The Shani Awesome Machel Atzmai. There, when you're taking the chamor lirkav olav to go and not lirkav olav, but to transfer the hobby olav peiroi, when you bring the machel adzwa, chinami sus lirkav olav liroiz ba kidei shiro kaodem choshuv. Oh, so this is not like the Rush learns to go and take him to the party, but rather that when he gets to the party, he should look like an odem chah. Ooh, did you see his susim? Wow, kishir kaval sus. He didn't come on a bicycle. He didn't come on roller skates. He came on a Susa, a brand new horse. Oh boy. Utehei tabas al yodai. And he's wearing that a fancy ring. Bishulzeh yitnu loy money yafa. The Rosh said they're going to give him extra monois. Here he's saying he's going to give him a nicer portion. You know, not just one of the portions in the back. Oh,
end piece.
Oh, ki haygavna grama ba'almo. So that's the question. Is that just a grama nish? So anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, so Rav Papa poses three questions. Number one, the Susler Kavalov, the Tabas Le'Roisba, and also the Mifsik Umezel Ba'ari. Mifsik Umezel Ba'ari is to use a shortcut, not to go to shul, but the shortcut from your home to get to the bakery, to get to the Beis HaMishnah, to get to the place where the food is. So you're not bringing the food to you, you're getting a shortcut to get to the food. In our Mishnah we said, normally Zimtai, if a person is madr hano'o mi machel, or hano'o mevegel de machel, drisus regel is permitted, because drisus regel has nothing to do with machel. However, ask the papa, what happens if the drisus regel, the shortcut, is not because you want to go to shul, or you want to go to the smedish, but you want to go to the party, you want to go to the kiddush, to be able to eat. No, maybe that's included in the hano'o mevegel de machel. It's mine. It's Toshima. Let's try to bring a ride from our Mishnah. It says at the end of the Mishnah, Toshima, Abu Mashalei Cholik Vitalis and his Amin Vitabois. Slightly different
order.
Okay, don't be upset about our voices. Loshin Nidor Mishnah. So, hey, Chidami, so explain to me what's the case of the end of the Mishnah. Ile Mishalei Lores Behen, that these are just stuff. I'm lending my friend a cholik talis and zomit, but have nothing to do with showing up at the party, showing up at the restaurant, or whatever. Nothing to do with that. So what's the chiddush? These have nothing to do with food. So if I'm just madr, the other fellow, hamadr, no, maybe the day machel, this has nothing to do with food I am. So, of course it's permissible. Elalav, look, the chiddush of the mishnah is, afile rois behen. That even if the reason why he's borrowing this cholik tabas, the talis and his omni, is so that he should look presentable and he should look like a chush of a guy, and therefore he's going to get a better portion, he's going to get priority in serving, and the waiter's going to expect a better tip, like Bill pointed out earlier. So, elava filo liroys ben, and nevertheless, it says in the Mishnah, uktani mashiloi. So, can't we be poishin a chayla of Rapapa that all of these cases are considered to be so far removed from the machal, it's like the Ran calls it a groma de groma. You know, there's only that much that you can directly relate to the food. You can't keep on what happens. Am I allowed to go and marry the daughter of the Ford Motor Company? Because as a result, maybe I'll get a discount on a Ford car, and then I'll be able to use that Ford car to be able to go to the grocery and there to be able to go and buy the bread or buy whatever I want to. So, I mean, you gotta.
Maybe your children will do it.
Exactly. Or can I have a note from the immigration officer who will allow me to get the visa to go into this country, so then I'll be able to go and buy the car, to be able to use the car. You got to be redlined somewhere. Is it a lava filiroi's bad? Maybe what the Mishnah is telling you, that even though the purpose of borrowing the Cholik v'Tabas is so that you should get preference and priority in the base on Mishnah, that nevertheless, that's okay, that's so far removed, that this is Gornish. Utani Mashiach. It's more like that you cannot be pushed from our Mishnah. The Olam Shloi Lirois. Really, the Mishnah is talking about a situation having nothing to do with food. Stop borrowing Cholik v'Tabas. The Idi Tani Rashalo Yashalano Tani Sefer Mashiach. The Sefer really has absolutely no chiddush whatsoever. But since we enumerated a whole bunch of kelim, where he said, oh, if you're mudim menu machel, which means hanoma, maybe a mevidili de machel, that we assered, we prohibited these four, not bekaber, chayim, betaner. Oh, by the way, on the flip side is that choli v'tavas, talis, and muzamim are permissible, even though that's a double poshet, no chiddush whatsoever. So therefore, we've left Rav Papa Shaila as an iboidli, if shetur the gemara is not poshet. And the Ran says, even though the Gemara is not poishit, however, we go lechumra, and therefore, if Reuven is madir Shimon and says, Shimon, I don't want you any hanoah from me. If it's hanoah, hamevia lite machel. Not only can he not lend him the nap of the kaver rechaim betaner, and not only can he not lend to him the chamor lehavi leapeirois, even the sus lirkav olav to get to the base of Mishnah, all of that is prohibited, because since Gemara is not poishit, we go lechumra.
What basis do they go by
Humra?
I mean, this is not the
Raisa. It's Rabbi Elazar.
It's Rabbi
Elazar.
If you recall, we had a Mishnah back earlier on Yud Ches Amid Beis, the top line on Yud Ches Amid Beis. There, a person made a neder and wasn't even sure what the neder was. Says the Mishnah, Stam Nedorim Lahachmir. When you're talking about neder, we go L'chumra. If you're wondering why, it's not a deraisa. Every time a person makes a neder, he is engaging in a deraisa, because the pasuk says at the beginning of Parshas Matzos, Ish ki yidor neder l'Hashem, o yishov ha'shvua, lesser iser al atzmoi, lo yachel devora. So a person goes and makes a neder, and he doesn't keep his neder, he violates the neder, then chas v'sholom is oiver an iser of lo yachel. And you're going to wonder, so what's so terrible about Yachel? We're talking about potential Malkis and potential Oyla V'yoyred and similar Oyla V'yoyred Karma, Oyla V'yoyred if you did it B'shoyi. So it is a Diyaraisa, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say make Nedarim. To the contrary, HaKadosh Baruch Hu prefers that you don't make Nedarim, because that was the discussion we had earlier between the Nidrei Rishoyim and Nidrei Ksheirim. Toiv Asher Leitidah, Mishatidah V'leit Teshalim. So, but if you do engage in Nidorim by making a Neder, then we are Machmir because of this Isser of the Bal Yachid. Good. And now we continue on to the next Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, V'chol davar she'ein oisin boi oichel nefesh, anything that you do not use for oichel nefesh, mokim shemaskirin ki yoitze behen, is osur. What does the Mishnah mean? The Mishnah means to tell you that even things that on the surface has nothing to do with machel, zero. Take for instance, table and chairs. I am making a simcha and I want to go and borrow from someone the table and chairs.
Sure.
There are in fact many gemachim in the from neighborhoods. You can go and borrow, you don't have to rent, you can go and borrow tables and chairs. What happens here in on the west side, I don't know of anyone that has such a gemach, you'd have to go and rent a table and chairs. If you're making a party at home, you're making sheva brachas, you're going to have to rent an extra table or two and another 10, 20 chairs, whatever, for your party, for your sheva brachas, for your Hanukkah party, and so on and so forth. Okay, so now I have a person who's mudr himenu. Mudr himenu, you're not allowed to have hano'ah from that person, right? Reuven said to Shimon, I don't want you to have any hano'ah from me. So now the question is, can I go and lend him those chairs and that table? So the Mishnah said, as long as it's those items which are not oichel nefesh, you might think, well, maybe table and chairs, maybe are oichel nefesh, maybe that's not a good example. Those things which are unrelated to oichel nefesh, we send the Mishnah, that's okay, because it's nothing to do with food. So if I made a neder, hano hamavil de machel, I can go and give him chalev tavas, dalas, and those on. However, what about in those places where they are maskir? They rent them. I remember the first couple of years when I was working at our law firm, every year they had a fancy dinner, an annual dinner for all of the partners and all of the associates, and it was such a fancy dinner, you had to come in with a tuxedo. Can you imagine? Wow. Nowadays you come to such dinners, you can come in with shorts. And well, you don't have to come at all, you can just participate remotely. Anyway, it's a different world today. Anyway, yes, were you asking something?
No.
Okay. Anyway, so what happened was, what happens if I had to go to those dinners, you know, everybody had to show up, I didn't own a tuxedo, I had to rent a tuxedo. In fact, there were stores where you could go and rent tuxedos.
Zellers,
they still do, yeah?
I don't know if this store, I remember that also.
You see, from
the
Shonim Kadmonios.
Yeah.
Good, so I think it cost $18 for renting the tuxedo. Anyway, whatever it was. What happens if I happen to be a friend of the tuxedo owner, the store, and he says, you know what, I'll give you a freebie. You've rented so many times from me today, I'm going to give it to you for free. Can I go and take from him that for free? After all, the Mishnah says it's a kelish ein oisin oichel nefesh. The tuxedo is not for eating. Maybe it's made in the machel. No, probably not. Anyway, the point is that there are stores and there are communities where even these items, a cholik tabas, talis and azamim, you can go and rent a coat. I want to come into to shul tomorrow and want people to think that I'm chushiv, and the only coat that I have are these. A ragged old coat from 50 years ago, or these plastic raincoats, and it's not going to rain tomorrow, so what am I going to go wear? If I can go and rent a fancy fur coat with nice fur trimming around, I look respected. Maybe somebody will offer me a shidduch. Maybe they'll give me an aliyah. You never know.
Tzaddik
and Pelts. Tzaddik and Pelts, exactly. So there are places that will rent it to you. I'll rent you such a beautiful, for $50, no problem. You know. Okay, so now the question is, can I go and take this for free if I'm muder heimenu? If I have a... Now, what's the shiloh over here? The shiloh over here is that even though this has nothing to do with food, if normally if I had to go and rent such a coat or such a tuxedo or whatever, it would normally cost me $50. If he's going to be mavater and say, I'm not charging the $50, so, oh, wow, that's wonderful. What am I going to do with these $50? I can go into the grocery and I can go and buy one or two loaves of bread and maybe a thing of salami and I can go and buy a couple of fruits. So that itself is mevi lidei machal. Says a Mishnah, you know what? Even dvorim she'ein oisim oichel nefesh, if it's a mokim she'maskirin, in places where people typically rent and charge for it, if this person is going to give him a freebie, then that's asur. Why? Because it also is, even though the neder was not a general neder, it was only a no amavir, this is also hano amavir lidei machal. So that's the chiddush of our Mishnah. If you look at the Rashi, not the Rashi, the Ram down below, where it says masnisen, right, about 60% down, mokish maskirin ki yoitz ben osur, afilu muda machal, the high muder machal the masnisen, that's how we said that's the pshat in the Mishnah. If normally people rent them out, if he doesn't charge for it, it's hanom avila de machali. Why? Since he's moichalim, you don't have to pay me the $50 to go and rent these items. Yikach machal, be able to go and buy a machal. That's also hanom. That's pshat in the Mishnah. Mokshesh is Osur. Now it's interesting, the Rishash says that the words of Chodov Hashem, Oysen Boy, Oichel Nefesh, Mokim Shemaskin, how do these words come and fit in? He says, nearer the Tzarech Loimah, that the Chodov is really the tail end of the previous Mishnah. In other words, we finish off the Mishnah. Avol Mashaloi Cholik Vetabas Vetaralis Vetanuzamim, the Chodov Hashem, Oysen Boy, Oichel Nefesh. And these are just four examples. It doesn't have to be nose rings. It could be stomach rings. Other things which are not enumerated in the Mishnah. And now the Mishnah says, oh, by the way, even though we said on all of these items that if it's inoyis b'chol nefesh, normally if you're muder ma'achol, it's muter. Why? Because that's worth money. Since it's worth money, that money could be used for ma'acholim. Hanom avil de machal, therefore it's prohibited. Good. Joktimar mechlal de resha, I can be medayik with the resha. Meaning, the napa vekavra is talking about afo pisha ein maskirin. Since the new Mishnah says, mokim shemaskirin is osir. So obviously the previous Mishnah talked about a mokim shein maskirin. And that's the reason why cholim v'tabas of talis and zam is mutzer. So then the napa vekavra, the chaim v'taner, are osir. Even though it's a mokum she'ein maskirin. In other words, we have two neighbors. You have Nancy and you have Sally. Nancy says to Sally, I want to borrow from you the napa v'kavra. Sure, no problem. Every day of the week they go and lend to one another a sieve, a reichayim, a taner. No, sure, no problem. However, if one becomes mudr hano mechaveiroi or mechaver toh, this would now be osur. What do you mean? Until now, nobody even thought of it. I never charged to go and lend a sieve, to go and lend a pot, a pan, a this, a that. And that's a good level of portion. Matan Ravada Barahav again, Rablezi, the same Rablezi as we said before. Vitur Osir B'mudr Hano. Even though this is something that people don't charge, next door neighbors all the time go and lend to one another this, that, or the other thing. An extra pot, an extra pan, an extra plate, an extra cutlery, an extra whatever. They don't think twice about it. However, if it's a mudr hano, even though you don't charge, vitr also mudr hano. So that's another raya that the Mishnah goes according to a blazer. In fact, the Tosis asks, what do I have to bring another raya? But he saw from the ratio that it goes according to a blazer. And Tosis gives a pshat. Anyway, on to the next Mishnah. Now this Mishnah we already had not too long ago, Masechtas Ksubis, so everybody should remember it very, very well. Look to the Mishnah, ha mudr hano mechaber. Even though someone said, I'm not going to go and take Hanor from someone else, or someone said, don't take Hanor from me. Nevertheless, the Madir is allowed to give him the following three, which we would look upon as giving Hanor. Shoikeloi, Eshikloi, he can go and lend them a shekel. I'm sorry. Every other, as you know, we're supposed to give the machzis a shekel to the Beis HaMikdash. What happens if someone seems to be running low on cash, even though the Madir said to the Mudir, I don't want you to have any Hanor from me. The Madir is allowed to go and pay the machzis a shekel on behalf of the Mudir. Similarly, Pareas Choyvai, the Mudir has a bunch of loans over his head. He cannot pay all of those loans. The Madir can go and act as, I know you don't like the expression, a good Samaritan. He can go over to him.
A good Boy Scout,
and he goes and pays his choiv on his behalf. If the Mudir Mimenu went and lost a gold watch, and I find it in the street, and I pick it up, I know who this belongs to. It's my good friend, the Mudir Hanor, that I'm not allowed to give Hanor to. Nevertheless, I'm allowed to return the Aveda to him. Now, all of these three on the surface are very, very strange. I'm not allowed to give Hanor to this fellow, yet I'm allowed to go and pay his machzis a shekel. I can pay off his loans. I can return to him as Aveda. That's a big chiddush. So, we learned about it already in Ksuvos, but our Gemara is going to repeat a lot of what we learned, so stay tuned. And the final halacha of the Mishnah is Mokim Shenuitlin Aleha Schar Tipal Hanor Lehegdish. Now, this is talking about a situation where the Madir is entitled to receive, if you will, a tip. In other words, even in HaTorah it says that although there's a mitzvah of being machzir aveda, returning a lost item, what happens if I work the entire day, and I work very, very diligently, and I get paid each hour $15 an hour? I think that's now the minimum, right?
Yes.
Okay. So now, $15 an hour, it's going to take me an entire hour to take this aveda and return it to Shimon, and then to get to my office, I'm going to lose an hour. So, I want to charge for that hour. You're allowed to charge for that hour. Not every mokum did they charge, but mokum shenoit le'eschar, where the minig mokum was, yes, if you lost an hour's worth of wage, you can charge for it.
Even though you're doing a mitzvah?
Why should
you lose out by doing a mitzvah?
Yeah, the more learns it from a pasuk.
Because you gain a lot more.
It says in the pasuk, Bisalamta mihem. The Gemara says, "Omim she'ata yochel his alim." The Gemara gives three examples. For instance, a koyin bebeis akvaris, masa kibed avdeim, and also a case of that a person is going to have zaken lefi chvoida shkoyach, and also the case of the person who's going to lose out money. For instance, the zaken lefi chvoida. Ramosha Feinstein Zatzal is walking down the street and he finds that someone he lost a knapsack. Which is a
basketball would be a better example.
Basketball.
The Moshe Feinstein carrying a basketball and it would be a bazillion. It would look ridiculous.
Probably the stories are apocryphal, but nevertheless they say that the Astro of Yashiv Zatzal, who was the Shver of Reb Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal, so they asked him whether or not you're allowed to go and play Kadrasal on Shabbos. So he asked him,
basketball.
Basketball. So he asked, what exactly is basketball? So they explained to him that there's a hoop on top, and you have to take the ball, and you have to throw it into the basket, and put it through it. So he said, I don't really understand the mitzvahs, but nearly it's better to do it before Shabbos or after Shabbos. He didn't say so. He had no musik of it was basketball. He never saw in his life. It's probably better to do it on Friday. He shouldn't get into any Shabbos. So
the story about Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, yeah, in the Beis HaMidrash, that he was sitting and learning, and a young boy came in his first year. He didn't know much, and he has this basketball. He's running around, and he says, Rav Aaron says, could you watch this for me? Mm-hmm. So Rav Aaron says, well, we need to think about this. Do you want me? I want to be a shomer, chinam, a shomer sacher, and he got into a hole.
He wasn't being a shomer, I'll tell you that.
And he was enjoying makar at this point. He became close to him, and over time he became a big talmud chacham. His arbor shomerim. Anyway,
very good. Okay, beautiful
story.
Yeah, anyway, I'm not sure exactly where we are in the middle of all these stories.
I'll get us back with a question then. If you're doing his chol, if you're paying his chov and money's fungible, as we saw,
yes,
whether it's a place where they rent or not, if you're paying his chov, you're displacing his chov, paying his chov, and money that otherwise would be obligated.
One second. I know we got off on a tangent. So Moshe Feinstein is walking down the street and he finds a big basketball. Now the question is, does he have the duty to go and give the basketball back, right? So that's what the Gemara says in Masechtes Bava Metzia. V'salam to mehem. That a Moshe should be walking around with a basketball, with, you know, what happens if somebody takes a picture and they put it into the papers and it goes viral? They don't realize he's doing a mitzvah, so Torah says, you don't have to. So same thing is, if a person loses out his parnosa as a result, not that he loses, but he's fired from his job, but just he loses an hour's worth of wages, then he's also entitled to get paid for that. He can go and tell the person who owns the Aveda, here, I'm returning to your watch, but you have to go and give me the $10, $15, whatever I would have lost during that hour. So what happens if you happen to live in such a mokum where, in fact, that is the common custom that people say, I charge for my services, I lost an hour, give it to me. So then, normally the Baal Aveda would have to go and give it to the Madir, to the person who is returning the Aveda to him. So now what happens if the Madir says, nah, come on, it's okay, you can keep the money, it's fine. I know I'm entitled to it. The minhag mokum is to pay. You can keep it. Now that Mudr is now receiving not only his Aveda, he's receiving that $10 or $15 that otherwise he would have to cough up as the tip to go and pay for the services. That's also prohibited because he's now giving him Hanoah. So that says the Mishnah, the Mokshanag, the Eschar, what are we going to do? He's saying, I don't want the money. Can the Mudr hold on to that money? No, he cannot. So what he's doing, he goes and gives it to the Hegdish, or give it to the Gizbar, the base of Hegdish, because he's not allowed to have enough from it. He doesn't want to take it. So he's stuck with the money, so he goes and gives it to Hegdish. We'll talk about this more at the end of the share. But let's get back to the beginning of the Mishnah. Beginning of the Mishnah was Shoykele Shikli Upareya Es Chayvai, that a person who is Madr, the Mudr, Reuven says to Shimon, I don't want you to have any enough from me. Reuven is allowed to go and pay his shekel for machzor. Shekel is allowed to go and give him back. He's allowed to pay for his chayv. Alma says Gemara, Avruche Ari bi Almahu Vishari. I see from this is considered to be like a Mavriach Ari. Mavriach Ari, of course, is an expression in this case. Mavriach Ari normally means that you see if Chas V'Shalom a lion is attacking and you go and prevent the damage. So that's really a groma. It's not that you've given the person a matana, you've been goyim that he shouldn't have a hefsid. Here, you have the gizbar that's knocking on the door, or you have the malvin knocking on the door and saying, pay me. So I'm not giving any money directly to the mudr, the madr is not giving the mudr, he's giving to go and get the ari to stop knocking on the door. Gizbar or malve, he's mavriach them, it means he causes them to flee, by paying them off. So I see that that's mutter. Mantana, who's the one that would hold that? That's mutter. Mavoishia, zu divrei chonon hi. That's the famous chonon at the end of Masechtes Ksuvos in the last perek. Chonon and Admon that we had over there. We're going to get back to this chonon in a moment because you're all wondering where's their chonon. We'll see in a moment. Rav Amar afilu teimin divrei chonon. It doesn't have to be chonon. It could even be the adversary of chonon, which the Mishnah calls the Bnei Kahanim Gedoilim. That hakoil, fill the dimitri hakoil, because gabi mudra no, the yohiv almanas shloi lefraya. It's talking about a situation where the original loan was a loan, almanas shloi lefraya, that you didn't have to pay it back at any particular deadline. Of course, if you don't have to pay it back at all, that's not a loan. That's called a matana, that's called a present. But he gives them a loan, he says, when do I have to pay it back? Whenever you're ready, whenever, No deadline. Oh, so why is that better? So explains Rava, explains the Ran, because since there is no deadline, then the Malva can never knock on the door and say, I want the money now. You said no deadline, I'm going to give it to you in a week, in a month, in a year, in 5 years, in 10 years, I got plenty of time. So now when this Madir pays off the loan on behalf of the Mudr is really not having any Hanoah because the Malva couldn't press him or pressure him anyway because I have all the time in the world to pay it back. And that's the case of our Mishnah, this very unusual case. We're going to get back to this in a moment. But in the meantime, my Chanan, what's the Chanan that Rav Oishia said was the first Teretz Nigmar? Did not. Mishalach Medina Sayyam. Person went away to Medina Sayyam. He went from New York to London. The Omen Echon appeared as Ishtar. and he has his wife sitting here, and he told his wife, I'm going to be back, Mitchum, in 3 months, and left her with enough money to go and cover for 3 months, for mezonos, whatever she needed. And then, unfortunately, he did not come home within 3 months. Why? He was delayed, he had closings, he had meetings, whatever the case was. He's only going to come home another 2 or 3 months later. In the meantime, she's starving. So somebody who is a good Boy Scout comes by and says, here, I give you money to go and buy whatever food you need for the next week, for the next month, whatever you need. Oh, very nice guy. Now what happens? Eventually the husband comes back and he says to his wife, what did you eat for the last few weeks? Oh, Yankel, such a nice guy. He lent me money. And now Yankel, although he's a very nice guy, he goes to the husband now and says, I can show you the bills. I want you to go and pay me back. Do you have to pay back? So the Gemara there, Maseches Ksubos, says that if in fact they entered into real contracts, in other words, if he lent money to the wife and the wife gave him a note, and now the husband's coming back, the husband has to pay off those notes, he has to pay off those loans. But what happens if he did it, quote unquote, the shemitzvah, without mentioning anything about a contract, a note, a loan, a gunish? He just gave money to hide her over until the husband comes back. But now he'd like to get paid back. By the fact that he didn't enter into any loan documents, notes, whatever, he didn't even call it a halva. He said, yeah, here's the money. Then he cannot, he'll get lots of schar boilam haba for being such a wonderful guy. Well, that's beautiful. But in this world, he cannot go and collect. Yes?
If the husband decided to pay it back, could he take it out of the ksuva?
No, it's a schiv to pay her parnasa. Mizonos, even as long as they're married. So he can't do that from a ksuva, he's not divorcing her. Mm-hmm. It's part of his normal expenses, regular expenses.
Quid pro quo for certain other benefits.
Right, Masi Yadeha.
Exactly. So now, that was Chanan. Nechliku Ola B'nei Kanam Yidolim V'Omru Yishba Kamoy Hoitzi V'Yito. That nice guy, the Boy Scout, who gave the money on behalf of the wife, he should just make a shvur how much it was. In other words, bring the receipts or make a shvur, bring evidence. So now he can collect. Aha. So therefore, how do we paskin? Rav Doisa ben Horkenes, Kid Devreim, Rav Doisa ben Horkenes says, I agree with Bnei Kahanam Gedoil. Rav Yechim and Zakai, Yofa Omer Chanan, I agree with Chanan. Why? Since they didn't enter into a loan with a note, with the documents, and gunish, it's as if he put his money down on the horns of a tzvi, tzvi being the chayah, which you were clearing before, where the chayah is din a basa b'cholav, right? Only behemoth of the chayah. Okay, unrelated. Anyway, what's the point? That
put it on FDF.
If you ever get close to a deer, you'll see you can get close to them, but in a second, they run away.
They have all sorts of diseases.
Easy, that's it. Ticks and all types of stuff, yeah. Anyway, so if you put the money on the head of that tzvi, how long are you going to think it's going to stay there? Not for a split second. He's going to run away. So all that money is going to be... Exactly. So all the money is going to be lost. Ah, so then getting back to our Gemara now. Our Gemara is saying, just like Chanan said, since there was no requirement for him to have to go and pay, so he paid, but he was not legally responsible. And therefore, Ibedes Ma'oisa. Here too, he was not legally responsible to go and pay. He was only Mavriach Ari, in other words, this woman never needed to eat. And the grocer and the baker was saying, I gave you credit for 2 weeks, but you've got to start paying. Well, he paid. It's very, very nice. Said Chanan, it's great he did that, but Ibedes Ma'oisa. So here too, in our Mishnah, we're saying that he's allowed to go and be pareya as choyvoy, according to Chanan, because that's not really considered being giving him hana. That's how the first teretz, well, that's Rav Oishia's teretz. Rav, if you remember, gave a second teretz that it's talking about divi hakol, with an interesting type of loan, a loan with no deadline, no maturity date. Says the Gemara, Ravli Omek Rav Oishia, now I didn't learn like Rav Oishia, to come wake up the masis with divi hakol. He didn't want to say that our mission is going only according to Chanan. He wanted to say it goes according to everybody. Rav Oishia said, I don't want to learn like Rava this interesting case of a note that has no maturity date, because if you're going to go and say that you can go and pay off such notes, then the average individual won't know the difference between one note and the other. So I don't look at the fine print on the note. It says in big letters he owes him $100. So here it says he has to pay him by January 1st. And this, the other one says, it's unlimited, no maturity date. $100, $100. If you're going to go and allow him to go and pay the first type of note, the shaloi lipara, I'm afraid that people are going to go and pay the second type of note as well, and therefore, let's not get into paying off these types of notes. So, therefore, they can only go according to Chonan, that Chonan says that if you go and pay notes that you're not responsible for, even if Moisev, you had no duty, no obligation. So in our case, in our Mishnah, it would be permissible. And now we get to the case of the Gemara, by the way, doesn't address the question of Shoykel Eshikloi, but the Ran reminds us that the Gemara in Maseches Ksuva says that the reason why you're allowed to go and pay the other person's Machzor Shekel, because even a Jew that does not pay the Machzor Shekel, he is also included in the Tzibur for whom the Kabbonis are being brought, and he just loses the mitzvah of paying the Machzor Shekel. So it's not nice, he should go and pay it. The person who does pay the Machzor Shekel on his behalf gets a double mitzvah for giving his own Machzor Shekel and for giving the Mudr's Machzor Shekel. But the Muslim, the Mudr's Machzor Shekel, the Mudr doesn't really have a no from it because he's included anyway within the parameters of Klal Yisrael that the Kabbonis have brought also on his behalf, even if he didn't go and put any money in the till. And we continue on Machzor Lias Avidoso. Now says Imar, Pligi Barab Ami Barabasi. What is this all about? It says in the Mishnah that you have a Madr and a Mudr. Madr is the one that said, Mudr, don't have any Hanor from me. And then the Mudr loses his gold watch in the street. The Madr finds it. The Madr is allowed to return. That gold watch is worth $2,000, $5,000. How is he allowed to go and return it? Says our Gemara, because made him the nafshikum hadalei. I'm not giving him anything new. I'm just returning to him his own lost item. So therefore, I'm not really giving him no, is that I found and I get avada. He's happy, no question. However, the Gemara doesn't consider that to be violative of his neder because he's just returning to him his own item. However, says the Gemara, what happens if it's a two-way dutzdadi, a mutual type of iser hanor, meaning that the madr asked the mudr from having hanor, and the mudr asked the madr. In other words, say, oh, you don't want to have hanor from me, I don't want you to have hanor from you. In other words, they're both at terrible loggerheads, and neither is allowed to have hanor from one another. So in such a situation, would the Baal Aveda be able to go and return the Aveda to the mudr? So you're saying to, is the Machzir able to go and return the Aveda to the Baal Aveda? And so you're thinking to yourself, the Baal Aveda, I can see that he's getting Hanor. You're telling me it's not Hanor because he's getting back his own item. Well, what is the Machzir's Hanor? He's getting no Hanor. He's just traipsing through town, having to go and give him back the. He's not getting Hanor. He is getting Hanor. You know what the Hanor is? There are certain items that require TLC. Tender loving care. For instance, if you happen to go and find an old manuscript, an old Sefer Torah, an old book Lahavdil, and those have to go and be shuckled out every once in a while, otherwise mold and mildew and other things form. So for instance, the Gemara says in the Sefer Bamitzia, if you go and find a Sefer Torah, once every 30 days you should go and roll it so that fresh air gets into it and it shouldn't go and get stale, damaged. What have you?
They don't do the shoes. They don't do that.
Today, probably because of different climactic, as you know, the Democrats are pushing for billions of dollars for climate changes. Because of these changes in the climate, maybe they produce the cloth differently, maybe the ink is produced differently. But in the good old days, you had an old safer.
You didn't have heated homes, you didn't have air conditioning, you had all the climate conditions affected everything, yes, so you had no protection on Sfarim.
Exactly. I was once, I think it was in Morocco, we had not lained in the morning because we didn't have a Sefer Torah, and I believe it was Morocco. And we went into a museum, a Jewish museum, and they had there an old Sefer Torah, and the old Sefer Torah was open, and someone said, hey, let's go and read this. We have a Sefer Torah now, let's go and read now, because we didn't have a Sefer Torah in the morning. Which, by the way, is permissible based on a Shuvas Chasam Sofer, that if you didn't lay in the morning, in Eretz Yisrael you have it in the airport, and you have Zichr Moshe, and a whole bunch of places. If you miss laying in the morning, that's sure, Mincha, yes. They have other places where they have laying. Tashlumin. Exactly. Okay, so we were thinking of doing that Tashlumin. we started opening the Sefer Torah and we started being goyel, and pieces started falling off, and this got a little caught on the cloth and on the roller, and it quickly destroyed. You can't do that because we were damaging the Sefer Torah. Obviously, it had not been rolled for 200 years, but for a while.
60s at least.
Whatever it was. But the point is that it was in no condition to be rolled anymore because ink was going to fall off,
fragile.
And the cloth was going to go and tear. It was. So, when you find an Aveda of an old Sefer Torah, an old manuscript, from time to time you have to ear it out, etc. Okay. You don't like the case of the manuscript. Same thing
applies. You have to feed it. You have to care for it.
La'avdol Bahema, exactly. You go and find the Bahema. It has to be fed. It has to be cleaned. It has to be washed. If it's a female Bahema, you have to go and squeeze out the udders from the milk. All those type of things. That all of that is time consuming. When I'm busy with the manuscript, or la'avdol with the animal, somebody knocks on my door. Tzedakah. I can tell them, sorry, sir.
Oh, you see, mitzvah.
You want tzedakah? Come back tomorrow. Come back later. I have to run. I have a flight to Australia. I'm sorry. I can't do it. I'm in the middle. So says Rav Yosef, that is considered to be receiving hana'ah. In which case is Rav Yosef talking about? It's talking about over there, the Gabe, what's the status of the person who found the Aveda? Does he have a status of a Shemer Chinam, or does he have a status of a Shemer Socher? What would be the Nafkimina? Very simple. If it's a Shemer Chinam, he's only Chai B'Pshi, but not Gnev Aveda. If he's a Shemer Socher, he's Chai B'Gnev Aveda. Says, Amachloik is Rabbi Rav Yosef. Rabbi says he's a Shemer Chinam. Rav Yosef says, no. The Machzir is getting Hano. What's the Hano? That every time a person knocks on the door and says that Tzedakah, I can go and tell him, I don't have to pay you because Oisim Mitzvah, Potem and a Mitzvah. That pruta is significant enough that I'm considered to be like a Shemer Socher because I'm getting paid, so to speak. I don't have to pay those prutas to the Ani. And as a result, I have a higher standard. I'm Chai B'Gnei Vaved. What does it have to do with us? What it has to do with us is that if not only the Mudr, that is the owner of the Aveda, is also to have Hanno'ah from the Machzir, if it goes both ways, that the Machzir is also not to have Hanno'ah from the Baal Aveda, here he's having Hanno'ah. What's that Hanno'ah? That he's being parted from having to pay the Pruta to the Ani. In such a case, says our Gemara, it's a Machlikas Bamir Basi. Chadam Alishon Alishinichsi Machzir Asun al Baal Aveda, the Gemahad Alei, up. Avon Nichsi Baal Aveda Asun al Machzir. I'm 4 lines from the bottom of the Yemen. Am Nichsi Baal Aveda Asun al Machzir. If it goes both ways, the Nichsi Baal Aveda is also Asun on the Machzir. Then the Machs is not allowed to return this Aveda. He has to say, I'm sorry. Leave that Aveda in the street. Let somebody else take care of this behema, of this manuscript, of this, that, and the other thing. 1 second. Why? To come Hani Le Pruta of Yosef. Because he's getting the Hano'ah of the Pruta of Yosef. We said in our Mishnah, they're not allowed to give Hano'ah Zeh L'Zeh, according to this Pshat. No, the Machzir can still go and return the Aveda. You're telling me about this Pruta with the Ani. Mishim Pruta of Yosef Le Shchiach. That is not such a shchiach, something that happens all the time. Now, you may be one of those people that are on the list of all the solicitors and they come to you all the time. But how many times when they're knocking on the door are you busy feeding the calf or rolling out the manuscript or whatever to go and preserve? And the only heter, of course, is only at the time that you're actually busy with it. Otherwise, a person would hold on to Aveda. Nobody claims it. I'm holding on to it 100 years. I never have to give tzedakah. I'm a master Aveda. I'm off of the hook. So it has to be that you are busy with the Aveda. And therefore, says the other man, how often does this occur? Then you're busy with Aveda when the person is knocking on the door. Or he can always come back, 10 minutes later. He's not taking a flight in 10 minutes, etc. Anyway, so that's a machlek. You had a question.
I don't understand how they could even bring it up, having hana'ah from not doing a mitzvah. Wouldn't that be like oker the entire foundation, meaning that just to say getting hana'ah from not giving someone tzedakah, it just doesn't
sound... It's not hana'ah on happiness, it's hana'ah on profitability, in financial status.
In you're saving money. So that's enough for Kuntur of Yosef. We're not recommending that a person should be so medactic on every little penny. We're just saying, what are the legal consequences if you are so busy that you are freed from having to go and give tzedakah? I'm sure
you're
when the
person... someone's getting... But the fact that you're saying someone's getting hana from that...
Yeah, I'd rather just say she's getting tsar from that.
Yeah.
You can't give the tzedakah.
Financial hana, but spiritual tsar.
Exactly. When we say I know, we don't mean benefit to the person smiling from ear to ear. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. What we're talking about is that he's getting financial benefit in terms of he's saving a couple of dollars, he doesn't have to give it to the army. I know you're not happy about it, and that's why the second money Yomer says, yeah, it's okay. You look like the second money. Okay, so that's a machlokes. Now, what does it have to do with us? So we could theoretically stop over here, but if you want to, we can learn the next few lines. Would you like to do that?
I'd love to.
Okay, we'd love to. Everybody has that beautiful cheshik and Torah. Don't you want to not? Let's go back to our mission. If you're going to tell me that it's a two-way street, that what? Not only is the mudr not allowed to have a no'o from the madir, but the madir is also a mudr, because both of them are madirim and mudarim. Both of them are osir zeh lezeh. Because neither of them is allowed to hold on to the funds. The mudr is not allowed to go and pay him for giving me back my aveda, because the machzer is also mudr hanoah. The machzer, on the other hand, can't say, I'm moichel, hold on to the money, because then the mudr is receiving hanoah from the machzer that says, hold on to the money. So this money is in limbo. Neither of them can keep the money or take the money. The machzer aveda can't take it because he's also mudr hanoah. The one that owns the aveda can't retain the funds because he's also mudr hanoah. So what do? It says in the Mishnah, go and give it to Hedish. Eleman the Yomer kishenichsi bal aveda asuno al machzer loy mahader. So therefore, that's not the case of our Mishnah. Rather, the Mishnah is talking about that it's only a one-way street, meaning it's only the bal aveda who's mudder, not the machzer. So my tibal no le Hedish. Why do we say that take a no and put into Hedish? After all, let the bal aveda pay the $10, the $15 to the machzer, and the machzer is allowed to hold on to it.
Right.
There's no reason why he can't take it.
He's got to pay.
There's no reason why he shouldn't pay. Well, no reason why he shouldn't accept it. And then, therefore, why would it say in the Mishnah that you can't go and take that money, you have to put into Hegdish, let the machzer receive it? If you're going to go tell me the Mishnah is talking about that it goes mutual, that both of them are mudra, then I understand. He can't take the money, he can't retain the money. But if you're telling me that it's talking about a situation where the Baal Machzir is allowed to take the money, he's not mudr from the Baal Aveda, so let him take the money. Everything more, you're right. He could theoretically have taken the money. Achadok Tani. We're talking about a situation where, like the safe of the Mishnah, that only the Baal Aveda is also not the Baal Machzir, only one. However, the Machzir says, but I don't want the money. I'm happy to give this Aveda without taking any tip, without taking $10. Zero. In such a situation, what does the mudr do, the Baal Aveda? He cannot give it to the machzer because the machzer says, I'm not taking it. Forget about it. He's not allowed to retain the money because he's now getting hanoah from the machzer. And therefore, what does he have to do? He has to go and give it to Haitish. Says Toises, doesn't that sound kind of remote? A situation where the machzer doesn't want the money. Why didn't the Mishnah simply say that if there's only in one direction, meaning only the mudr is asur, but the machzer is mudr, then the mudr gives the money to the machzer holds on to it and he keeps it. Why does it have to say, if he doesn't want it, go and give it to Hegdish? So the Toises says, because this is in fact the standard thing. If you look at the Toises, not the Rosh, the Toises on the right hand side, Hachanami Achoda. Right, you have that on the right hand margin.
Is this on Amud Aleph?
In my
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
I got it.
Am I different? Yeah, other Gemara is different. Anyway, about Pirish, 10 lines in. Pirish. The Gabi Chodeminaya Katoni, Tipa Lano Lagdish. The Gabi Baladeda. What does that mean? Shema Machzer, Eino Roitza Le Kabila Schar. He says, I know I could take it because I'm not mudder from you. I could take it, but I don't want it. Eino Roitza. Imkain Nena Min Ha Machzer. So then the mudder, the Baladeda, is receiving the money that he's not paying. Why does it say in the Mishnah simply that since it's only the
one
mudr is
one-sided,
it's one-sided, and then let him give the money, the master can keep the funds. He's asking, why does the Mishnah talk about such a funny case where the Machzor says, I know I'm entitled to it, but I'm a Moichel. And therefore, you can't keep the money, you have to give it to Hegdish. One just a simple case. Just go and give the money to the Machzor, and the Machzor will take it. This is the normal practice. This is what Ariel has been screaming the whole time.
Yeah.
It's a mitzvah, he doesn't care. I don't need the $10. I'm so happy I'm doing a mitzvah that Rabbeinu Shlom. Half bishen a mechuyev lasis, even though he's not mechuyev. Kimin shehu batal mimalachti. Since he batal mimalachti, he'd be entitled to it. But he's saying, I want to do the mitzvah. I don't care about the $10. You hold on to it. This is an orcha de mitzvah. This is the normal reaction of an erlachayit. So that's a normal case. And therefore, what is the mudra going to do with the money? You have to give it to Hegdish.
And there's no Hegdish today. What's the remedy?
That's a very good question. Don't make them dark.
I don't make them dark, but what do people do in a situation like this when there's a
put into a Hegdish pushka, I guess.
It's a takala. You can't do that. You can't be makdish anything now.
Good question.
David,
thanks for joining us.
It's a takala. It's lidei takala. You can't do it.
Forgive him for the background. No good.
It's what we call better late than ever. We were happy to have you, even for part.
And you got tax deduction.
Have a great day. Be well.
Listen, but seriously, I mean, these situations have happened. Yeah, this is 2,000 years now since.
Unfortunately,
we have no Hegdish to.
The Sheikh is around the corner. Mir Tisha. You have a good question. Look at the postcard.